Father, we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Come on, saints. I know y'all are up. Hallelujah. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, and the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our hearts before our King. Lord God Almighty, truly, Lord, it's a privilege, Lord, to be back in the house of the Lord God Almighty, that we may worship you, Father. We thank you for your many mighty works, Lord, that you have done in the past and what you are going to do today. We thank you, Lord, for what you will do in the future, Lord. But right now is the present time, Lord God. And at this present time, we want to praise you with every fiber of our being, Lord. We want to surrender all that we are to you, Lord God, that you may receive glory from our lives, Lord. That is our purpose here, Lord, to glorify our God. Father God, we just ask that you bless and anoint this congregation. May the Holy Ghost come in and meet each and every need that's represented amongst us. Father God, would your people have desires upon their hearts, Lord? May you grant the desires of our hearts, even as you have said. Father, we ask that you anoint our pastor in a special way, that he may bring forth your word of life, Lord, to feed your children, that we may grow thereby. Oh, Father, just come, Lord God. Father, we love you. We worship you, Lord God. Lord, it's to you, Lord, that we give praise, Lord God. All of our adoration, our love, Lord, all honor belongs to you. And Father God, it's not, Lord, a light thing that we esteem you so highly, Lord. You are great and greatly to be praised. Father, as we surrender just now, we just ask that you take complete preeminence, Lord, of each and every vessel here, Lord. We love you, we praise you. We ask that you give us a refilling of the Holy Ghost, Lord, as we have come into your presence. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. So we can. privilege it is that a God so great and so mighty will want to come and dwell in a people such as we ourselves, unfit, but He has made us holy by His precious blood. Amen. He's given us a liberty that other people just don't understand. Let's sing this little song together. I've got freedom in the Spirit. I've got freedom in the I've got freedom in the Spirit. I've got freedom in the Spirit.
Say brothers, sister brothers who come over here. Let's make joyful noise unto the Lord. Come on, brother. All the brothers, come on, brother.
Everybody?
The name of the song is, we all know, Amazing Grace.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost,
take your seats if you can. Praise the Lord.
Bless you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
That is nothing but the truth. Amen, Sister Rachel. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
precious Lord. We do give you thanks, Lord God, for this little portion of worship, Lord, giving up the tithes and offering, Lord. Truly, this is a part of our worship, Lord. Father, we want to give to you, Lord, that from our hearts, Lord, and that which also you have required of us, Lord God. And we trust that you will fulfill your word, Lord, as we fulfill that portion that you asked us to. Father, we ask, Lord, your blessings, Lord, upon each and every person that could give. Bless those that cannot give, Lord God, and those that have the heart's desire to give, Lord God. We ask that you bless them in a special way, Lord, that you may continue to have need in your storehouse, Lord. Continue to bless your people, that this church may continue to move forward in the grace and power of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask. Thank you.
Throne, amen, on this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you that we serve a God that is involved in everything that we face. God, Mother Morales, the enemy's been attacking her time and time again, but we've watched you, Lord, just work miracles every time. Lord, that you even used one miracle to get Josue's attention. And God, because of that miracle, he's serving you today. And I thank you, Lord, for what you did, what you're doing in his life. And God, we ask that you would touch Mother Morales right now. There is no case too hard for you, no situation too difficult. So, Lord, whatever the condition is, we place the blood of Jesus Christ in between her and that condition. We pray a total and complete healing on her body. We send the word of healing right now in the name of Jesus. We tell you, Satan, we command you in the name of Jesus to loose her body and let it go. For the Bible tells us what we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So, God, we ask that you would just move on the scene. We also pray for traveling mercies for Brother and Sister Robles as they prepare for their trip to go away. We ask that you would go with them and that you would keep them, Father, as they're away. And, God, we just give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord another hand of praise. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Before you have your seats, just turn around and greet somebody. Say, it's so good to see you today. So good to see you today. Praise the Lord. Amen. We certainly just thank God for being back in his house, amen, on this morning. I need to make a couple announcements, and I just want to thank the Lord for my dad being able to make it out to the service today. And the Lord just touching his body, and amen, I just appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just always good to see God just do things like that. I want to thank God, Sister Julie. Lord's touched her. She's back in service with us, amen, as well, on this morning. Good to see Brother Andrew, Sister Candace, amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yesterday, Sister Naomi celebrated her birthday, y'all. Amen. We thank God for giving her another year here. Thank God for that. Amen. And certainly appreciate the service on last night. Brother Josh McDonald came to preach the word of God, and he just preached it right out the scripture. And we had a wonderful time here. And, you know, when Brother Will is doing service, you never know what's going to happen. And Brother Will just had everybody. We had a big old circle around this place, just praying in a big old circle and worshiping in that big old circle. And I said, wow, it's just really special, you know. So, but we just really appreciate the Lord Jesus, amen, and all that he did. For us last night, and thank God for the business meeting on Friday night. We just appreciate the Lord just making a way, amen, opening doors that we can't see, and just doing so much for this church, and sometimes so good just to reflect back as to where we were and where we are and where we going, amen, by God's grace. So we just appreciate the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful for the specials that I heard, amen, this morning, and amen. They had an all brother song, amen, and I know it's been Brother Leroy's heart to get all the brothers up to sing, and this morning that took place. Brother Leroy, Brother Wisdom, I understand Brother Mike. Brother Robles, Brother Solomon, Brother Jerry. They got Jeffrey up here too. Praise the Lord. Brother Jeffrey, Brother Burrs, and Brother Nehemiah. And I just thank God for that. I thank God for that. Oh, Brother Josue, Brother Josue, praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. That's all right. Y'all did a good job. Y'all left me out, but that's all right. I forgive all y'all. But, you know, I was sitting there, I said, now, I wonder who watching that though. All the brothers singing, so Brother Mike sat back there in the back to watch the door. Thank you, Brother Mike. God bless you. We'll let you do your special by yourself next week. Amen. Praise the Lord. I guess Brother Benjamin, too, he's locking it down over there. So, amen. But we just appreciate that. And Sister Rebecca and Sister Rachel, thank you all so much. Amen. I got a text there while I was in the office. You all remember Brother Eric Reek. He came and he preached about expectations here. And right after him, Brother Daryl Ward came the following weekend and talking about signing them checks. And, man, we've been in revival ever since, you know, both of those brothers passed through. Brother Reek texted me and said, this is my first time back in the pulpit after surgery. Today going to be his first time back in the pulpit. So we thank God for that, and just ask us to keep him in prayer, you know. But I told him that, brother, ever since you came, we still in revival. So we just trust that God will strengthen him and bless him, you know, since he's had the surgery there regarding a hernia. You know, Brother Wesco was recently scheduled to have a surgery for a hernia. I think he was going to have it on Thursday. And he went to church on Wednesday, and they was playing a tape. I think it's Faith in Action they were playing. And say the Holy Spirit just kind of came in the church while they were playing, and they just began to worship. And he said the Lord healed him right there on the spot. Praise God. God is still moving. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. My God, my God, my God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anytime we can, we like to give the devil a black eye. Amen. Anytime we can. He's going to hit me, so I might as well hit him, right? Hit him with a testimony. Amen. Praise God. But, you know, he was telling me, he called me on, I think it was Friday morning. He said, brother, the Lord touched me, and I called and canceled my surgery. And I'm just telling everybody that God touched me. And I said, well, praise God. Thank God for that. You know, but we are just very happy about that. And speaking of Brother Wesco, I spoke last week and just mentioned to many, you know, Brother Wesco and Sister Wesco, the church, Rapture and Faith Tabernacle, has been a blessing to every one of us, amen, in here in some way. And, you know, as we were doing Mother's home-going service, you know, we saw that there were various needs that the church had. And rather than leave the church and talk about the needs, amen, my desire is to help fulfill some of the needs, amen. So, you know, I mentioned it last week that anybody that would want to help out with that, you know, we certainly welcome it. You just put it in an envelope and just say it's for, you know, Brother Wesco's needs. And I'll just begin to share this with another a brother of mine, another friend of mine, just, you know, just what was in my heart. And, you know, and I said, you know, just different things that I saw that they needed. And one, I felt an organ, you know, either need to be repaired or need to be replaced. And we started thinking that the organ is up there, you know, and years it's up there. And I think they've had it serviced a couple times. So this brother, you know, we began to talk, and he said, brother, I think I could probably get an organ for about $2,500. I said, okay, that sounds good. I said, you think that's the, you know, if that's the best, you know, you can, you know, do, that's fine. Let me know what's what. So then he texted me back and said, brother, I can get the organ for $2,000 if you'll come pick it up, or somebody just come pick it up. Somebody got to go to Kentucky to get it. Right. We'll get it. And he says, I'm willing to contribute $500 towards that $2,000. Right. So I say, well, praise the Lord. You know, I'd leave $1,500 left and just somebody to drive up there to go get it, right? So, you know, church, I'd love for us to be able to, amen, get the rest of that and give that to Brother West Coast Church. And my understanding is going to be just like ours. It'll be rather than a B3, a C3. C3 has an enclosed cage like that. So when the sisters are playing, amen, they can play. You understand what I'm saying? But it'll be a nice C3, and I think that'd just be a real blessing. And actually, I'd love to do that before the meetings. So we just need $1,500. And actually, we got some of that already, because some saints have already started donating. So if you would like to be a part of this blessing, amen, just put something on envelope. Say, Brother Jack, I wanna do that. You might say, Brother, I want to give $1,500 towards it. And that's okay. You ain't got to tell nobody what you're doing. I ain't going to tell them. Somebody else might say, I want to be a $1,500 blessing. You know what? We'll take that too. All right? And you know what we'll do? We'll give it all to Brother Wesco and his church, Wrapped in Faith Tap. We'll give everything to the church. We won't keep nothing for ourselves. We'll give it all to them. Amen. You know, if you want to receive a blessing, you got to be a blessing. That's the way it works, church. Amen. So, you know, when this brother, I just told him just quickly, he was like, Brother, you know what? I would give $500 to it. I was like, well, praise God. I wasn't expecting that. But I thank God for it, and I feel like God is moving on the organ. So I'm going to move with the cloud. Amen. It's an organ. Brother Wesco got to have an organ. Brother Wesco got to have, some of y'all, when he was younger in the ministry, there was a time where they didn't have any food in the house, Brother and Sister Wesco, and they didn't know what they were going to do, just walking by faith with the Lord. And while they were in the house, there was this sister all the way up in, Port St. Lucie. She just heard the Spirit of the Lord say, Brother Wesco got to eat. Brother Wesco got to eat. So she went and bought some groceries, and she told her husband, "Say, well, next time we go down to church, we'll take these groceries to Brother Wesco." And the Holy Spirit just kept saying, "Brother Wesco got to eat. Brother Wesco got to eat. Brother Wesco got to eat." And she's like, "Why, I can't get this voice out of my head. Say, dear, do you mind us just going and dropping this food off right now?" And so they got in their car, Port St. Lucie, drove all the way down to West Palm Beach, knocked on the door, say, "The Lord told us, Brother Wesco got to eat, so we brought this food. God bless you, and we're going on back home." And did not know at that time Brother Wesco had to eat and his family had to eat. See, God will use anybody at any time to get you your need. Oh, my, have faith. Now, and I think as Christians, we ought to be in a spot where we've experienced being able to hear the voice of God to meet a need. And then on the other side, we ought to be have experience where God has used somebody to meet one of our needs. This is the way this works. Amen. When we live by faith, you know, God just does things that blow our mind. And I don't mind having my mind blowed. Right now, I got a need. We need a new church and a new school. Praise the Lord. We need a new church and a new school. Now, I brought all the figures before the church on Friday night, and we got some big numbers that we facing, but we serve a big, gigantic, huge, enormous, yes, massive God, right? I mean, any big word you can think of, that's our God, and I'm not limiting him to our bank account. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So we are under expectation for God to do some great things, amen, in our midst. And I'm not putting off no 10 and 15 years. I'm talking about right now. So you all be in prayer that God would just meet, amen, the needs. We do have a building that we are looking at right now. And even while I'm sitting here, I'm getting emails about this building, right? I can't respond to them. And I says, I can't respond. Y'all shouldn't be responding to anything here either. Don't respond to that text. Wait till after church. All right. But information's going back and forth now. But keep it in prayer that God would open a door. We found a building that would actually satisfy both our church and our school needs. And and it may be a starting point for us, but we'll take it. We're not going to despise a day of small beginnings, and we look forward to it. The main thing, it could be ours, rather than that Pac-Man image I showed y'all on Friday night. Rather than that Pac-Man image going to somebody else's pocket, amen, it belongs to us, right? So that's what we're under expectation for. Glory to God. All right, amen. So a couple other things I wanted to mention. I want to ask you all be in prayer for Brother Noel and Sister Shirley. I think the last name is Johnson. But Brother Noel and Sister Shirley, they are missionaries that every year, they live in North Carolina, but they go to India every year to spread the gospel. And they go into some very, very dangerous places. The government has changed over in India, and they're really against Christianity. And, people being persecuted for being Christians. You know, here we can just kind of decide when we want to go to church and, you know, if we want to go and all these other. I mean, but over there, you say you're a Christian, you could lose your life, right? You could lose your life. And, so some of the places that they might go in and they might try to preach, they have to be extremely careful. So, just want to keep them in prayer that God would just watch over them and protect them while they're away and just bless their efforts there. You know, I mean, it's amazing how believers will put themselves in harm's way, amen, for the life of somebody else. That's a real Christian, because Christ put himself in harm's way for us. Amen. So, you know, just keep Brother Noel and Sister Shirley in prayer. All right. Communion tonight at 5:30. Communion and feet washing. We'll have that tonight. So keep that in mind. I know that it's Super Bowl Sunday, but they ain't got nothing to do with Christians. Okay, I thought I'd get a few amens. I know the Super Bowl ain't vexing no Christians. Pastor, I'm going to miss. Why? Not because of football. You know, I don't know when I got there. But I ain't got there yet. But I'm striving. I am really striving to get to a place where sports don't mean anything to me. I want to get there. You know what? Ain't going to be no football in heaven. Ain't going to be no basketball in heaven. Huh? Ain't going to be none of that in heaven. So we might as well get to a spot where those things don't mean anything to us on the earth. I'm telling the truth. Amen. And I am one that I grew up playing football, playing basketball, all those things, but I don't want that spirit to get a hold of me. Right, where it got me locked in, I can't do nothing. Nice church, but what? No, what it is church. It ain't nothing else, right? And I don't even want to put it on the same level. Well, you know, I did do this for the Lord, and I did do that for the Lord. So no, don't nothing equate to God, nothing. I'm just telling the truth. Nothing equates to God. Don't get into your mind that don't try to reason with God and all. Don't do that. It's God. All God. All God. All right. Amen, church. Praise the Lord. I'm just talking about me. This is where I'm trying to get to in my spiritual walk. I don't want any of those things to be a hindrance to me. I never want that to be, right? I mean, I'm not saying you can't enjoy things sometime, but watch it, because spirits get, you know, spirits is behind everything that we do. Y'all don't believe it, but spirits are behind everything we do. Brother Layton, Sister Laura's husband, he was joking with my girls one day, and they went by to take something to the house, and Brother Layton came outside and say, let me watch y'all get to the car, you know. And they're like, no, we okay. He said, no, it's spirits everywhere. Spirits in the trees, spirits in the cars, spirits in the mailboxes, spirits everywhere. Let me make sure y'all get to the car safely. But he's in one way, he's right. There are spirits everywhere, and they seeking to attack us, right? It's spirits. Spirits on YouTube, spirits on Instagram, spirits on Facebook. It's spirits everywhere, and we have to guard ourselves. So tonight we got communion at 5:30, and I don't even know what time the game start. I don't know. It don't matter to me because I got communion. Amen. Whoever win ain't gonna matter. A few years from now, nobody even gonna remember who won, right? But all I know is Jesus died for my sin, and amen, he won. So I'm gonna come worship him. Sisters prayer meeting, that's gonna happen on this Tuesday. Amen, the sisters prayer meeting, so keep that in mind. At 7:30, the sisters will be meeting here for a prayer meeting. We certainly thank God for God birthing that last year amongst the sisters, and now we're just trying to carry that on. We do it every twice a month, every other week, and just looking to try to create something for something that'll sustain. And I believe that we got a rhythm that will be sustainable. Also, acquire the fire meetings, amen, March 13th through 15th. Don't forget that. We'll be having our Acquire the Fire meetings. Brother George Smith, Brother Kenny Capps. Brother George happens to be Brother Branham's son-in-law. Brother Kenny Capps, his father, amen. Brother Kenny also grew up in the church when Brother Branham was alive, so they'll be sharing their personal testimonies. Brother Darrell Ward will be preaching, and also Brother Kyle Kelly. So looking forward to a wonderful, wonderful set of services, amen, there March 13th through 15th. Brother Bradley Hammond, you all remember him. He called yesterday to say, I remember y'all had meetings last year. Y'all going to do it again this year? I said, yes, we sure are. I told him the dates. He said, please greet the saints for us. And so I'm just offering his greetings, amen, on his behalf. And we're looking forward to everyone that's coming down just to be a part of the services. Amen. I think that's all that I need to announce for today. And, Sister Brown did mention to me, I got some, oh. I missed the first happy birthday greeting. Sister Sam having a birthday this on Thursday. All right, Sister Sam. So happy birthday to Sister Sam. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I know some more birthdays coming up in February. I know Brother Andrew, Sister Candace, Sister Alexandria. All them birthdays coming up right around the same time. Amen. So happy birthday to all, amen, all God's children. Amen. So last night, Brother Samuels came. And if you all don't know who Brother Samuels is, he's the father of these wonderful children. Amen. Right here behind my wife. That's the Samuels family. And he came to me because I saw them the last couple of weeks, and they've been in Sunday school and everything. And I said, "How y'all got here?" I said, "Where your daddy at?" You know, and you know, they said, "Well, Sister Rachel brought us." And I said, "Okay, wonderful." And so last night, that Brother Samuels came to me and said, "Now, you know, my kids say that they enjoy coming to church here." And he says, he said, the reason you don't see me on Sunday is because I'm a musician and I play for other churches. I say, oh, okay. He say, so usually I take my kids to church with me and we play, and then we start playing. They don't want to let me go. And then by the time we finish the service, I go to another church and I play at that church. He said, my kids just be going back and forth. And said, really, they don't understand everything that be, you know, they don't speak the language, so they don't really understand. Say, this the church they say they like. This the church they want to come to. He say, I'm leaving them in your charge. So we welcome the Samuels family to Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. We thank God for them. And I'm gonna tell you, some singers and some musicians in that family. So we glad to have the Samuels family with us. Amen. And y'all just get ready to see some replication. Amen. In some areas. And even Brother Jerry is a musician. Amen. He's going to be replicated this year too. So y'all just get ready for what God want to do. Amen. In Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. So we thank God for all of these young people. And I'm glad to have some young people that want to live for the Lord. Amen. That really want to live for God. Praise God. Amen. So But we certainly welcome them. And all right, I think I got it all. Oh, I was going to say something about Sister Brown. Yes, Sister Brown had some extra programs that she had from Mama's Homegoing Service, and they did an awesome job on them programs. They did an awesome job, Sister Burrs and Sister Virginia, and you know, it just when I saw it, and I got a chance to look it over, and I saw, you know, just that picture of the baptism. I said, oh my, this gonna be a help. And everybody left there with that program, and Mama's picture on the back of it being baptized at 80-something years old, right? And so that's going to speak to everybody. Why would she do something like that at 80-something years old? Because of the truth. She wanted to make sure things was right with her and God, right? I thank God for that, right? So she got some extras, and if anybody wanted just, you know, a program, you are certainly, just see Sister Brown, and she'll make sure that you get one. Amen. So praise the Lord. I think that's it. All right. Now I can try to preach. Amen. So let's just stand to our feet and let's read just two scriptures, and then we'll rush right into our thought here today as we continue our journey through the bride is the mystery of Christ revealed. Here in Colossians 1, verse 26 and 27, we'll read that and we'll say a prayer, and I'll let you be seated. And we'll go from there. I want to thank the Lord for watching over Sister Chantel. She was in an accident, I heard, and God protected her. She's still sitting here with us, so thank God for that. Amen. And also, Brother Jerry was in an accident, but God watched over him, and amen. So we thank God for that as well. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1, verse 26 through 27. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to read it, but we know it's the Holy Spirit that makes the word clear to us. So speak to our hearts, God, through your word today, and just draw us closer to you as we prepare, Lord, just to receive from you today. We take control over every spirit that's against your spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit will have preeminence in this place today. Just do, Lord, the things that only you can do in our presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. We want to just kind of keep going down this thought of the bride is the mystery of Christ revealed. We're pulling this from the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And I was reading a couple things on last week, and I was telling you I was trying to get into this area where it talks about being prisoners. So let's just start off with this one quote, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, paragraph 489. Out of this message, I read this last week, and I'll just start here today. My God. The prophet says it goes right by them, and they don't recognize it till it's gone. We don't want to be that way in this hour. We want to catch everything God is doing according to his word, right? There's a lot of people, you know, they got the Bible, but they have no idea what the Bible really is saying. Right, you can't understand this unless you're looking through a prophetic lens, amen. And many are trying to understand it by looking at various theologians and various people that's teaching this and teaching that. They're trying to get clarity on it, but if they would just accept what a prophet is saying, it would make it so clear to them, amen. So you know, we encourage looking at the scripture through the prophetic lens. Even up to 100 years ago, they were lost looking at the scripture. It's only been since the prophet has come, now we have clarity and understanding. Even as I'm preaching Colossians 1, 26 and 27, we're talking about this mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Most people just read that as a saying, but we don't really get the revelation that Christ is dwelling on the inside. I mean, the same God that said, let there be, is dwelling on the inside of us. And if he can speak all this into existence, everything that we see, then what can he do for us? Why are we worried about problems and troubles and trials and tribulations and distresses? God lives on the inside. Amen. And I said it previously, when God didn't like something, he just changed it by the spoken word. And that's the same thing that we have, the power, the ability to change it by the spoken word. Your confession is what changes it. Oh, my God. You're going to confess that you're sick, you're going to remain sick. But if you confess that you're healed, then you are going to receive your healing. Amen. My God, I believe that with all my heart. Mama got her confession. She said, this thing ain't going to take me out. And it did not take her out. Glory to God. Amen. It's according to your faith. So shall it be, church. Amen. See, it goes right by them, and they don't recognize it till it's gone. It only picks up the predestinated seed that God predestinated before the foundation of the earth. The same thing come through in the days of Noah. Same thing come through in the days of Moses, days of Elijah, days of the prophets, days of Jesus, on down through to this very hour. The pregnant person with the seed of God, the word in there manifesting itself, so surrendered to the will of God that the word and the word alone manifests itself in the person, the prisoner, to an individual. All right? And we want to just kind of bring, you know, our thoughts towards being prisoners, amen, today if we can. We want to bring our thoughts there. So let me just kind of just lay another quote in here before we get going too far. Here out of the message, a prisoner, amen. The prophet was referring to a scripture when he preached this message Philemon, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Philemon, all right, thank you. Philemon, it's only one chapter, verse 1, where Paul says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. So, you know, here Brother Branham took a thought from that, and he began to preach on the message, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, when Paul wrote the message in Philemon, amen, Paul was actually sitting in prison when he wrote this message. But what Paul did, he didn't look at his situation and get discouraged about being in a Roman prison. But Paul actually took it and turned it around and started looking at the conditions of the prison. And I was reading, I mean, not reading, but I was sharing with you last night, when a man is in prison, amen, he's bound to the rules and the regulations of the prison. Amen. I mean, if they have a particular outfit that they want him to wear, that's what he's wearing. Amen. He can't go and choose something else. When he realizes that I'm in prison, they say orange and white, it's going to be orange and white. Right? Amen. And it's not going to, I mean, well, I want to wear jeans today. No, you can't wear jeans today. It's orange and white today. We have. And not only do you have a uniform, but we all got the same uniform. Praise the Lord. When we become prisoners to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, whatever God say is the way that we supposed to dress, then that's the way we dress. And we don't have any problem with it because we are prisoners. We understand that all of our rights have been sheared away, and now, amen, we're completely following what the Word of God has asked us to follow. Amen. I said last week, if they say prisoner, you got to get a haircut. Sit down in the chair and get your hair cut. Amen. If it's you got to let your hair grow, then you better just let your hair grow. Don't cut it. That's for the sisters. Amen. But whatever the rules were for prison, you had to abide by those rules. Amen. And if we're prisoners to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we got to learn to abide by the rules and the regulations that have been set forth in the Word of God. Not my rules, church, amen, but God's rules. My job is to just remind you what God said. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. So we want to be prisoners, and I want to just kind of drop this off here before we, you know, I got some other things I want to share there. But here in the message, a prisoner, as the prophet was just kind of pulling this, and he preached this, and, you know, Paul being in prison would say, I'm a prisoner to Jesus Christ. I'm not looking at the conditions around me. You know, I'm using this to actually, as a type, I'm a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at this. It says, now we're all born a free moral agent to make any decisions that we wish to. God justly does that because he must put every man on the same basis. Or he put the wrong man, he put the first man on the wrong basis, that he put on free moral agency. That means you can make whatever decision you want to make. And let me just be honest with you. Amen. Your decisions always show on you as to what decisions you are making. Come on now. Amen. Even when you say not yet or not now, you're making a decision. What you're saying is no, I'm not going to do that. And look, if you're not going to be a prisoner to Jesus Christ, you will be a prisoner to Satan. Amen. Because you'll be doing everything that the devil wants you to do. My God, the devil's people dress a certain way. God's people dress a certain way. Amen. God's people act a certain way. The devil's people act a certain way. We all going to be prisoners to one thing or the other. I'd rather be a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Come on now. It says, look, he's put on free moral agency. See, we're just exactly tonight like Adam and Eve. There's no different. Right and wrong, sex before either one of us. Life and death, we can make our choice, up to you to make it. I love that. It ain't up to mama. It ain't up to daddy. It ain't up to pastor. It ain't up to your children. It is up to you. It ain't up to your husband. It ain't up to your wife. It is up to you to make the decision. Amen. That's the way Adam and Eve did. And they made the wrong choice. And now by that put the whole human race under death, the penalty of death. And then God came down in the form of a man and took the death and paid the penalty of death. His subjects that desired to be free could go free. Now, if he took us without the same way that he did Adam and Eve, he just pulled us through something and said, I'll save you whether you want saved or not. Then he put Adam and Eve on the wrong basis, you see. But each one of us has to choose this day between death and life. We can do it. Let me go on. As I just expressed, if your life will prove exactly what side you're on, I don't care what side you say you're on. Come on, there's a big difference. Some of us say we on the Lord's side. Oh, my God, I can't get away from it. Can't get away from it. When God showed me that little thing there about that rich young ruler, I just got to keep sharing it. Right? The rich young ruler, if you look in, I think, Luke 16, you'll see that the Bible say, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And when the rich young ruler lifted up his eyes in hell, he was still in hell confessing that he was a Christian. He was in hell saying, Father Abraham. Right? I mean, like that was going to give him some special privileges. He was actually looking for him, right? Because he wanted Lazarus to go just get a little tip of water and come give me some on my tongue. He thought that if he approached Abraham with this respectful title, Father Abraham, right? He thought that he was still a Christian in hell. Huh? And the problem is that people are living in hell today, right on the earth. Their life is a living hell, but they still confess that they're Christians. Ooh, that is heavy. Amen. Your life got to line up with the word of God. Amen. It shows what you're identifying from another dimension, a heavenly place, when your life lines up with the word of God. When it don't line up, it's saying that you identify from somewhere else. Come on now, somebody. We might as well tell the truth. Right? It's not what you think you are. It's what you actually are. And your life proves what you are. Your decisions prove what you are. All right, let me go on. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at this. It says, what you do every day proves what you are. You've heard the old saying, your life is so loud. I can't hear your testimony. Your actions is so loud. I've always believed in shouting and jumping. But I've always said, don't jump no higher than you live. Because the world is going to watch that. See, you must just jump as high as you live, so because somebody's watching you. Now go on, he says this, people won't come to church. Many of them just won't do it, and some of them not coming is sincere people, good people, won't come to church. They've seen so much corruption in the church until they don't want to have anything to do with it. And many times we're speaking on a flat thought of that,
You can hardly blame them, see, because of the way the people act. They call themselves Christian. They're the greatest stumbling block that the world has got is the man and woman who profess to be a Christian and live something different from their profession. Come on, ain't nothing but the truth. When you start living something different than your profession, you are hindering people from coming to Christ. You're not helping people come to Christ. You are hindering them. Lord, I don't want to be a hindrance no more. Amen. I'm tired of hindering folk. I want to help people get to Jesus. If we're going to be prisoners, let's be prisoners. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. All right. Let me jump into something here. Just bear with me. Let me go back to Christ as the mystery of God revealed. See, remember, you know, the three things that God wanted. He wanted to reveal himself to his people. Then he wanted to, amen, have the preeminence in his people. Then he wanted to take them back to Eden conditions again. And as we talk about being a prisoner, this is where Christ begins to have the preeminence in his people. Glory to God. This is where he begins to have the preeminence in his people. And we can realize that we have to become prisoners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prisoners. Let me just, skip here to something. I want to share this with you. I was reading this online, and, you know, in a natural prison, there are rules that the people go by. Now, there's rules that the government may set, you know, for them, and so on and so forth. And, I mean, you know, like they might tell you what time you're going to eat lunch or eat dinner, whatever. You better be there at that time. You're not going to come when you want to come. Not only that, the food that they serve, that's what you eat. It ain't, well, you know what? I was really tasting a steak today. Not in prison. Not in prison. You ain't tasting no steak. You're going to eat this. Right? Well, what about a hamburger? I mean, can we have it? You can't have it your way in prison. Or whatever it is, if they give you a tomato, no tomato, that's just what it is. You just got to take what they give you. That's what prison is. Oh, my God. Amen. And people get acclimated to that environment, right? They have no problem with it when they get into that situation. But, you know, you adapt real quick when you're in prison. Oh, if I could just preach this today. When you're really in prison, you adapt quick. Ain't no complaining. No, I'm in prison. It's just the way it is. What about when you come to Christ? Huh? Why can't you just adapt quickly? Ooh, Jesus. Huh? Not when you get ready. Uh-uh. No. No, you in prison right now. Today you're going to adapt. Oh, hallelujah, church. You can't decide on this next week or next year. It's already been decided for you. The day you report to prison, that's when your rights have been stripped away. The day that you give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, your rights have been stripped away. I can't do it my way no more. It's going to be God's way or no way at all. I am a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Woo-woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, people don't want to be in prison. If you don't want to be, amen, you need to do the things to keep you out of it. Huh? I mean, nobody wants to go to prison. Nobody wants to do that. So don't go rob a bank. Right? Don't go hold up nobody. Don't murder nobody. Get control of your temper so you don't end up in prison. Right? All those things like that. But, you know, when it comes to being a prisoner of Christ, I'm turning myself in. I actually want to serve him. I want to live for him. And I realize as I live for him, I'm giving up my rights. They got laws, amen, for the prisoners. There's a couple things. But the prisoners themselves have their own rules. And you got to know their rules. And each prison got their own set of rules. But I was kind of, you know, reading some things. And they were saying, and some of the prisoners' rules is, you know, they encourage you not to trust nobody. They tell you don't trust nobody. Don't go sharing your story with everybody in the prison. Well, you know, the reason that I'm here is because of this, that, and the other. Well, they might use that against you. Right? So they tell you that you can't trust nobody in prison. Oh, my God, my God. And if I can tell you something, when you're a prisoner to Jesus Christ, you can't trust the devil. Huh? And anybody that's on the devil's side, you can't trust them. So don't go sharing all your hurts with somebody that can't really help you. Huh? You know, this scripture just kind of came to me while I said that, and let me just try to get it real quick if I can. Yes, it's right here. It's right here. Psalms 1. Look at this. You can't trust nobody. Look at this. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You cannot trust ungodly people. When you're a prisoner to Jesus Christ, you can't trust ungodly people. They may use some of your stuff against you someday. That's why it's not good to hang with ungodly people when you're a prisoner to Jesus. I got some more. They're encouraged to hide their emotions. Woo-woo. When you're in prison, don't go in there crying. Don't do that while you're in prison. Don't let them see your weak side, because they'll take advantage of your weaknesses. Don't show the devil your weaknesses, because he will show take advantage of you. Right? I'm not gonna tell you that when you serve the Lord, there might be some times that you're gonna cry. I understand that. Even Jesus cried. Right? There's trials that we go through, and it's gonna produce some tears in our life. But there has to come a point in time where we dry up our tears and we get some strength to keep pressing on. Because you know what? Depression will join you in your tears. Oppression will join you in your tears. So you got to fight that spirit, and you got to remain encouraged. Sometimes ain't going to be nobody there to pat you on the back, so you're going to have to pat your own self on the back. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. You're going to have to hide your emotions sometimes. You shouldn't be coming, you can't come before the presence of the king with sad emotions. You can't have a sad countenance when you're coming before the presence of the king. No. You set off his gauges then. You know, you got to, and back in the Old Testament, they couldn't go before the king with a sad countenance, right? So if they couldn't do that in the Old Testament with a natural king, what about us coming to the presence of the King of Kings? We should never come with a sad countenance. Amen. Leave it outside. Amen. Amen. I'm not here to bring no glory to myself. I'm here to bring glory to Almighty God. Well, brother, how come you can't get in the service? Sister, what's the matter? No. I'm here to praise God. I'm here to praise God. I'm going through, but I still got a praise on the inside of me. And if I ain't got but one last amen, I'm going to come give it. I'm coming to church and just let the devil know whose side I'm on. I might come in, hit that post, amen, turn and walk right back out. But I just want the devil to know whose side I'm on. I'll tell you something. When you can praise in the midst of your trial, you give the devil a mind battle. Rather than you taking the mind battle, you begin to give the devil a mind battle. I'd rather see the devil confused than me to experience confusion any day. And the way that I do that, I hide my emotions. The devil don't know how I feel, because I'm still praising in the midst of my trial. I'm hiding my emotion. And the reason I do that is because I am a prisoner. I don't want you to see my weaknesses. I don't want you to see my weaknesses. Man, all I know is every time this guy goes through something, he just starts praising God more and more. That's right. That's who I am. I'm a prisoner. I get tougher. I get tougher. Amen. Yes. I I like that, sister. Praise is what we do. Amen. When we're going through, what you do? All right. Come on now. When you're going through, you learn how to praise. Amen. 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 So you're encouraged to hide your emotions. Don't let them get the best of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I ain't say you couldn't cry. You can cry. But at some point in time, you got to speak too. You got to speak too. So go ahead and cry. But I'm waiting to hear when you're going to start speaking. Praise God. Amen. We got trials. Trials are real. And we're going to cry sometime. But we're still Christians. And we have hope, right? Then the other thing they say when you get to prison, seek out people from your hometown. Now, y'all ever hear them use the term homeboy, a homegirl? That's because it come from prison, right? You're trying to find some people that you might be able to identify with a little bit. So seek out people from your hometown. Oh, my God. Seek out people that got things in common with you. Right. That's why you can't hang with just anybody. Christians should hang with Christians. Brothers hang with brothers. Sisters hang with sisters, right? That should be your homeboy. Somebody here in the church. I mean, a young man shouldn't have no homeboy out there in the world. A young girl, that's not your best friend out there in the world. No. They don't even agree with what you agree with. How are they going to be your best friend? They may be your acquaintance, but they are not your best friend. These are prison rules. Ooh, Jesus. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth. Seek out people from your hometown. I got another one. Respect personal space and don't let anyone invade in your space when you're in prison. That shows another sign of weakness. If you let people invade in your space, just kind of, you know, they get a little closer and closer. Next thing you know, hey, man, no, back up. Back up, man. No, you too close, man. And what you going to do about it? I tell you what, you come one more. That's what they do in prison. And a fight will start right there because you got to prove that you're not going to let nobody just take over you, right? Anybody say amen to that? That's prison rules. Well, it's the same way with the devil. When you feel like the devil is invading your personal space, tell the devil to back up. The Bible say resist the devil and he will flee. That's a prison rule. I'm a prisoner to Jesus Christ. I don't want the devil to get too close to me.
You invade my personal space.
Oh, God. Ooh. In prison, if you decide to join a gang, they advise that you don't do it. But if you decide to join a gang, you're in that gang until you die. Well, this is not no if, but when you pledge to be a prisoner for Jesus Christ, and when you join the gang, you are in it till you die. There is no turning back. There is no getting out of it. That's why I said I'm wrapped up, I'm tied up, I'm tangled up in Jesus. I am a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, my God, my God.
Let me read something for you. I'm coming back to some more prison rules, but, you know, the prophet said something here that just blessed my heart. Let me read this. It's going to come out of Crisis, the Mystery of God Revealed. Oh, my God. This is paragraph 441. Look at this. Amen. He says this. He said, and see God himself making himself known and pulsating himself through the life that you're a prisoner to him now. You are his love prisoner. The world can laugh, make fun of them, and say, come on out. You could go, but you're a prisoner. See, the other women can act Hollywood, but not you. you're a prisoner. Amen. See, you're a prisoner to Christ. Other men can smoke and drink and carry on if they want to and call themselves Christians, deacons, and even preachers, but not you. You're a prisoner to the word. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love that. I'm in it till I'm dead. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to do this work. Look at this. The other thing they tell you if you're going to prison, they say line up some reading material. Because you're going to be in there for a while. Line up some reading material. I like that. If you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ, line up some reading material. Start reading your Bible. If you want to get closer to God, read the Bible and pray every day. That's what prisoners do. There's some prisoners that became lawyers inside the prison because they was reading so much. They got their degrees in prison. My God. If they can do that and accomplish all those things in prison, what can we do for Christ? Line up some reading material. We got it. As you're walking out the door, there's reading material right there. Just take some with you. You want to be encouraged during the week? Line up some reading material. Listen to the tapes while you're at home. Come on now. Line up reading material. Uh-oh. When you're a prisoner, they got another thing here. Stay away from controversial subjects. You're not trying to incite a riot. So they say, you know, politics and religion, you try to stay away from those type of conversations when you're in prison. Uh-oh, we're prisoners to Christ. Can I read something for us to kind of stay away from? This is Christ is the mystery of God revealed. This is, you know, I'm telling you, so much in this message. Give me paragraph 80. Now, this is one of y'all favorite quotes. But this is, you know, again, going with this statement, what if you're in prison, you know, stay away from controversial subjects. When you become a prisoner to Christ, you got to stay away from controversial subjects. Look at this in the church. Look at what Brother Branham say, love one another. Above everything, love one another. No matter what the devil tries to say, now you're all one great, big, sweet group now. But remember my warning, see, Satan won't let you stay that way. No, sir, he'll shoot everything. If he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he'll bring some critic or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. And then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of a poison stuff, and he'll start through the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right loving and sweet and kind to one another. Pray for that man that he'll be saved too, or that woman, or ever who it is. Just pray for them and stick one with another and stay with your pastor. See, he's the shepherd. And you give him respects, he'll lead you through, and because he's ordained of God to do so. Look, says, now do you remember? Now do you remember that? The enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. Don't never clan among one or talk and make yourself clannish. We are one. I couldn't say left hand, I'm mad at you. I'm going to take you away because you're not a right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Even a little tip of my finger, I want to stay right there. Every little part of my body, stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly with one another, right at with one another. And now you've got tapes on that. You've got tapes on what we believe. You've got tapes on discipline in the church. How we behave ourselves in the church of God, how we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay home. My God, if God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. If you don't feel that way, then I tell you, it's time you got to pray it. Because we're in the last days where the Bible exhorted us much more as we see the day approaching, to love one another with Christian love and divine love, to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and love one another. This will all men know you are my disciples when you have love one for another. That's right. Stay right together. So when we're in prison, amen, we have to stay away from controversial subjects. Somebody starts something in the church that you know ain't of God, stay away from that subject. Somebody start talking about the pastor, stay away from that subject. Controversial, just stay, just, no, we're not going to talk, let's change the conversation. Well, we can't talk about nothing. Yeah, we can't talk about that. Stay away. I'm a prisoner. I don't even want to hear it. You ain't going to be able, you ain't going to tell nobody, well, I heard so-and-so say this. No, 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 you ain't going to get me involved in none of that. I'm standing away from controversial subjects. I am a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo. There's one other thing that they do in prison that I want to just bring to you today. Don't stare at the other prisoners. Don't stare. You can look, but don't stare. I'm going to read something for you. Because I'm sure nobody wants you staring at them. It's okay to look at them, but don't stare at them, even here in the church. But don't stare at the devil. Don't stare at the devil. Don't do that. Satan got all kind of stuff he presenting our way. But you better watch what you get your eyes focused on. Don't stare at the devil. Can I read this to y'all? Looking at the unseen. Look at this. Well, when I start going through this on the internet, I said, boy, look at all the quotes that just tie right there, right there, right there. This is it. This is it. Don't stare at the devil. Look at this. The prophet says this. I am told that a snake can catch the eye of a bird and charm that bird with its enchantments and the stare of its eyes until such a way that the bird will give the snake its attention for just a few minutes. That bird will flutter and completely become paralyzed. Now, the bird got wings to be able to fly, but because it's looking at the wrong thing, it can't fly. It's been paralyzed mentally. Right? It's a mental paralyzation. It ain't like you can't get up out of that situation and walk out of it. You've been staring at the devil a little bit too long, and now you're mentally paralyzed. Woo! Listen. That bird will flutter and completely become paralyzed, and the snake will take the bird. And I can believe that because that I know of another serpent, the devil, that if he could ever catch the eye with his enchantments, with your modern rock and roll and all your fandangos of the world, if he can ever catch you, young lady or young man, just long enough to get his charm in you, you'll flutter, but you can't get loose. He will hold you till he swallows you up in sin. Now, the prophet said rock and roll, but I'm going to use rap music. Young people, don't let the devil get you caught up. Don't be staring at that. Right? Don't be listening to that. That when you listen to it, you're staring at it. You are giving consideration to it. But you got to run with all you got to run away from those things. That's for the young people. What about some of us older ones? What are the things that we're staring at? Come on. Amen. I mean, you know, you can't get caught staring at the things of the world. You better be staring at the Word of God. Hallelujah. Look at it. Look at it. The devil swallow you up in sin. The only way that I'm told that the little bird ever has a chance is to get his eyes off of the serpent, and he cannot look at anything else because he stands staring. But if he would take his eyes from the serpent and look upward and flutter his wings, he will fly plumb out of the reach of that snake. Listen, and if you have ever got the charm of the world, I'm telling you, young men, young women, don't stare. Look, that young lady gave you that telephone number. Don't stare at it. Young lady, that young man gave his telephone. You don't stare at it. I'm going to tell you something. You can delete it. And because you stared at it, it's still in your mind. Don't stare at the devil. Come on, church. these prison rules. I'm just giving you prison rules. Amen. If you want to be successful in prison, you better follow these rules. Amen. If you want to be a successful prisoner of Jesus Christ, follow the rules. There are some that, you know, so there's like in the prison, you got, the internal prisoners, they got their own rules, right? And then you also got the rules that the state has established for that. You better know the rules so you can follow them. Amen. 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 You want to be successful today? You want to remain a Christian? Don't stare at the devil. Let me go on. The only chance is to get his eyes off the serpent. He cannot look at anything else, but he stands staring. But if he will take his eyes from the serpent and look upward and flutter his wings, he will fly plumb out of the reach of the snake. And if you have ever got the charm of the world and the things of the world and unbelief charming around your heart that tells you, oh, live modern, shake your head tonight. Can I say today? Shake your head today and look up to the unseen one, the Lord Jesus, and flutter your wings of prayer until you fly plumb out of his reach and out of his clutches. If he should speak to you and say that divine healing is wrong, shake your head from him quickly. If he should tell you that spiritual discernment is telepathy, shake your head from him immediately and look up to the unseen. You know, people would try to get us to believe that God didn't raise mama. I'm shaking my head and I'm looking up because I know God raised mama. I know God did that. The doctors didn't do it. God did that. 9 minutes she was gone. 9 minutes and came back with her right mind. I ain't gonna look at no devils. I ain't staring at none of that. Well, medical science, I'm not staring at it. I hear what you're saying, but no, I know medical science can't do that. Otherwise, if they could, everybody would come back. Everybody. If medical science can do it. But God control life. Right? Amen. God control life. And the life that you got, you ought to be giving it back to him right now. Amen. Become a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, my God. Let me just try to finish up here today. As I was just looking, you know, this Paul, let's read a scripture here out of Ephesians 2. Is that right? It might be Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 1. But Paul identifies himself as a prisoner, and I'll maybe get a little deeper in him as we go in the next few weeks, but I just want to kind of set some prison rules. Amen, for the day. We need that. Ephesians 3, though, Paul makes this comment. And, I mean, Paul is in prison writing this. He's in a terrible condition, prison, but he's writing these great words. But this calls I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He's looking at this cell that he can't get out of, but he says, I'm not a prisoner to the Romans. I'm a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, I'm not a prisoner to anything else. I'm a prisoner to Jesus Christ, church. That's the way I feel today. He says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now this revelation that we've been preaching, the bride is the mystery of Christ revealed, that came from a message that the prophet preached on Christ is the mystery of God revealed. This revelation has been revealed revealed unto his holy apostles and his prophets by the Spirit. That's why we're able to fellowship around this word. We have received a prophet. Thank God. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship
of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And remember those three things that Brother Branham said that was locked in God, but now they're made manifest to us. God wanted to reveal himself to us. God wanted to have the preeminence in us, and the only way he can have preeminence is when we turn ourselves in and we become prisoners. Amen. And the last thing is to take us back to Eden conditions again. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, and whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Let's go on. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. I love that. I love that. See, you know, oftentimes we try to get strength on the outside, but we need it on the inside. Because it's the strength on the inside that makes the outside keep pressing on. You need to be strengthened in the inner man. Hallelujah. Strengthened by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. I mean, you don't know. I mean, God want to take you so much further in him that you can't even imagine how deep he want to go. Right. I mean, but you'll begin to, I mean, you can't, it says you may be able to comprehend it. You'll be able to understand what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I don't know about you, but I've done this many times. You can be reading a scripture this year, go back and read that same scripture next year, and it take you to a deeper level in God. You can be listening to a tape this year and it might mean something, but you go back and listen to it in another season of your life, it'll take you deeper in God. It'll take you higher in God. That's why, I mean, I never get tired of reading my Bible. Never get tired of it. I'm addicted to reading my Bible. And that's a great addiction to have. Oh, my, I'm almost there. Let me finish. Look at this. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now I need to ask you a question. What power is working in you? Because there's multiple powers. There's the power of God. There's the power of Satan. There's the power of faith. There's the power of doubt. What power is working in you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want God's power to be working in and through me. Let me bring it home today. We got some prison rules that we all need to follow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We become love slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And what a love slave is, it's a person that's willing to do whatever they can for the person that they love. Oh, God, if you want me to go here, I'll go. If you want me to do this, I'll do it. If you want me to stop doing this, I'll stop. I'm not going to argue with you. I am a love slave to Jesus Christ. A love slave will do it, amen, they'll do whatever they can for another person, for the person that they love, even if it means an inconvenience for them. That's deep. Even if it's an inconvenience, yeah, that relationship, inconvenience, but give it up because you're a love slave. Yeah, the way that you dress, give it up. You're a love slave. Oh, the way that you talk, give it up because you are a love slave. I don't talk that way no more. I don't care what you do. You're not going to get me so hot and heavy
that I'm cursing. You know why? Because I realize Jesus is hearing my words, and I don't want to displease him. I'm married to him. So if I just got to take it, I just have to take it. And I turn you over to the hands of the Lord and let him deal with you. Because he says better that you not offend the least of my little ones. You might as well just have something tied and just be thrown, a meal tied and just thrown into the sea, you know. Just drown because you offended the least of my little ones. Oh, my God, church. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah was a love slave. He couldn't help himself. He had to prophesy. He was trying not to. He actually told God, I'm not going to do it. Then the word of the Lord came to him. He said, I can't help it. I'm trying not to do it. I'm trying not to say nothing. But it's like fire shut up in my bones, and I can't help myself. Even when everybody criticizing me and saying, "When you Jeremiah, you always got something negative to say." I don't care. I am a slave. I'm a prisoner. I can't help but say what God tell me to say. I can't help but live the way God has called me to live because I am a prisoner. Let me just read a few things. I'm coming home. Oh, God. Give me paragraph 182 and a prisoner. And I'm just read a couple more things. We'll finish up. It says, notice before he came out, he had to be taken out and shaved. A few things had to be shaved off before he could meet his king. See? And old God sometimes takes his people out like that and shaves a few of their own wheels off, shows them that they can't do just what they wanted to do. You know what I mean? They're not in liberty to do what they want to do before they could come into full power and be a love slave to Christ. They have to be shaved off and then presented. Sometimes he takes them to the desert to do that, to shave them off and then bring them out, the anointed one, to fulfill the purpose that he's ordained them to be. See what I mean? Brethren, we're at the end time. All God doing, even this as we go through this series, he's shaving certain things off. Because God wants us, amen, to be his prisoner. Praise the Lord. Let me go on. Let's see if I can just find this really quick. Yes, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Paragraph 153. Hold on. Go back to a prisoner, paragraph 98 in that. Paragraph 98, then I'll close out with Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Paragraph 98 in a prisoner. The prophet says this, oh, tonight, and I'm going to say oh, today, if we as Spirit and Truth Tabernacle could only become prisoners to our own selfish being, to our own ambition, that we could completely surrender ourselves and be yoked to him, no matter what the rest of the world thinks, what the rest of the world does, we're yoked with the fetters of love. We are prisoners. Look at this. My feet is so yoked to Christ, it won't dance. Amen. That's me, church. That's the way I want to be. My feet so yoked to Christ, it won't dance. Y'all remember Brother Branham going to the dance? I mean, the young lady said, what you do for fun, right? What you do for fun? You know, I got some things I do for fun. Well, why don't you come out here to the dance, you know? No, I don't really want, I don't dance. Well, no, come on, you know, it'll be fun. You can come out here and dance. Then, no, I don't dance. I don't, you know, that's not me. That's not what I do. Well, come on. So he said, okay, all right, I'll go with you, but only if we get a chance to do one thing, you know, when we get out there. He's like, okay, come on. So we went on out to the middle of the floor. She pulled him out there to dance. And boy, she had him out there, and you know, she had the prophet, you know, get ready. You know, come on, we get ready to do it. He said, no, just one thing we got to do before we dance. He grabbed her hands, and he pulled her, snatched her down to the ground. Got on her knees, and he got on his knees. He said, before I dance, I got to pray. He started praying. Next thing you know, the band stopped playing. He had changed the atmosphere. You want to shift an atmosphere? You start praying, it'll shift the atmosphere. Oh, my God. The dance had stopped that night because the prophet started praying right there. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a prisoner. I don't dance. My feet are so, I just wish. Young people, y'all ask
quite often to your parents, can I go here? Can I go there? Can I do this? And parents oftentimes say, no, no, I can't let you go. You get upset when parents say you can't go spend a night at somebody's house. Well, they're doing that for a reason. There's other things going to happen at that house that's not going to happen at your parents' house. And the only reason you want to go over there because you want to do some of those things. And you, well, it's my cousin. Your cousin ain't a Christian. Right. So we want to put you in an environment. I mean, look out. Look for your homeboys. That your cousin might not be your homeboy. Right. I don't, they related to you, but don't mean that they agree with the same things that you agree with. You know, and then as you get older, you know, people on your job invite you to come here. What you doing at happy hour? Prisoners don't go to happy hour. Well, I ain't drinking. I know you ain't going to even look like you drinking. You ain't going to happy hour. You shouldn't even be asking, can I go? And then you shouldn't even be thinking about sneaking out to go. You're a prisoner. See, I mean, when you become a prisoner, and this is the way I want to get with my kids, I want them to be in a spot where they don't even ask those questions. Not because they know that I'm going to say no. Not for that. Because they are prisoners and they don't want to do it themselves. Amen. You know, sometimes our kids, you know, they that's the way that they get out of saying no. They tell people, my parents told me I couldn't do it. That's the way they get out. That means you ain't become a prisoner yet. When you can hear it, like, you know, sometimes somebody... My daughter came and asked us about somebody invited her to go on a boat with them, and they were just going to hang out on the boat. They do this all the time. They come back sharing their pictures about being out on the boat. I say, on a boat? I don't know these people. They could do anything with you on this boat out there. You could end up in the bottom of an ocean, and how I'm going to find you. Right? Why would I let you go get on a boat with somebody I do not know? You want to get on a boat? I got a friend. He got a boat. Let's go get on the boat with my friend. I found out real quick she didn't want to go on the boat. Parents, don't be afraid to be parents. We got to, I mean, look, I'm a prisoner. And I think the way a prisoner thinks. No, we just don't do that in prison. Woo! That in prison. Right. Ain't no boat ride in prison. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth anyway. Ain't nothing but the truth. And you wonder why your kids got spirits on them, because we let them do these things. When you're in prison, you can't do that. Glory, 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 glory. We are prisoners. My feet is so yoked to Christ, it won't dance. I remember being a young man. I'm almost there. Y'all just bear with me a little bit. But I remember being a young man, and boy, I was witnessing through both my life and just sharing different words. This young man was in my class, and we would share scriptures and different things. And boy, I had him. He was like, man, I see what you're saying, Jack. I see what you're saying. He said, man, it's just one thing. That only reason I just can't do it. Only reason. I said, man, I just got to dance. Gotta do it. No, you ain't gotta do none of that. But I just got to dance, Jack. I got to. I said, man, my feet are so yoked to Christ that I can't dance. And I'm happy to have it yoked to Christ that I can't do the things that my flesh would want me to do. That's it. My flesh say do it. But the words say, no, don't do that. No. So I'm just so yoked to him that, no, I'm sorry, I can't do it. If a wife really love her husband, and her husband say, you know, I don't really like that. I don't like when you do that or whatever. That wife will do everything she can to try to change. I've seen, even in my household, my daughters love me that much. I'm not even married to them, but they love me enough that if daddy say, no, I'm not that, they'll do it. That's the way we got to be with Christ. Lord, if you say no, then it's no. I'm not going to sit here and try to argue with Christ. I'm a prisoner.
You ever see prisoners arguing with the wardens and all that? They better be careful. You argue with one warden, that kind of open up a little gate over here for you to go in, right? And it'll just be you and the wardens in there. Or they might set up some other prisoners to take care of you and give them privileges. That's why you just learn to keep. You just don't say nothing. And whatever the rule is, that's just the rule. Thank you, sir. Can I have another, sir? Yeah. That's prison. Ooh, Jesus. I'm saying a lot, and I hope y'all getting it spiritually. I hope y'all catching it spiritually, because we talk about becoming prisoners so that he can have the preeminence in us. Oh, God, look at it. My feet are so yoked to Christ, it won't dance. My eyes, this for every young man, every young woman, my eyes are so yoked to Christ till when I see these modern striptease on the street, it turns my head. Oh, my God. My eyes are so yoked to Christ, I can't help but turn my head. No, I'm not talking about like this. They ain't turning your head. That's, I mean, you want, oh. Got to do all kind of stuff like that. When you see guys doing that, they prisoners. Amen. Because they don't want to get caught up in the striptease. Oh, my God, my God. Sisters, don't let the devil use your body to become a striptease. Amen. You respect yourself more than that. And everybody else trying to take off as much clothes as they can. You know, the prophet saw this. He said, when he was looking at the churches, they said they were just, all they have, just their private parts covered. Everything else was off. And that's exactly what people are doing today. And not the world, the church is dressing that way. The church is dressing that way. That's why we want to, we prisoners, we look holy. We dress holy. Amen. It looked different from everybody else. Prisoners always dress. You can tell a prisoner by the way they dress. When you drive along the street and you see the work crew, they got certain outfits on. These guys are coming from prison. Oh, my God. Used to be able to tell the church people because they dress different. You know, there's still some people that dress different. You're going to be able to tell we prisoners. Prisoners to who? Jesus Christ. I'm almost there. My eyes are so yoked to Christ till when I see the modern striptease on the street, it turns my head. My heart is so yoked in love to him till I can't have love for this world anymore. That's what I was talking about earlier. Super Bowl or no Super Bowl, right? I can't have love for this world anymore. My will is so yoked to him till I don't even know now what my ambitions are. That's deep. I ain't got time to go on that. But Paul was going in a certain direction. But when God got a hold of his life, it changed his ambitions. And you know what? Oftentimes we have certain ambitions. I'm trying to get this. I got this goal. I got that goal. But God is not at the top of that list. Every goal that we reach is taking us further and further away from Christ. I want to be a prisoner to Jesus Christ, to his will, to his way, to his word. I'm not so concerned about being so successful in this world. Because whatever I gain, somebody else can enjoy. I'm placing my treasures in heaven above. Now, I ain't saying be broke. But you got to get a balance on that. God got to be first in everything. Praise the Lord. Oh, God. Just wherever you lead me, Lord, I'll follow. I'll be a prisoner. Okay, one last quote here. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Paragraph 153. Oh, if God can get him prisoners like that. Now that's when he can express the preeminences, you see. He's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right, that's secondly. First, express itself completely, God in Christ, and the second fold was second to have preeminences by this in his church, which is his body, the bride, so he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin,
by the first Adam back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowship with them, and now sin and death had separated them from his presence and his entire expression. Do you read it? Before the foundation world to express all his attributes, what he was. So, church, this is what God has been trying to bring us back to. We've seen God manifested in Christ. Now Christ wants to be manifested in his bride, because the bride is the mystery of Christ revealed. And church, the only way Christ can be revealed and manifested through us is that we have to become prisoners. I pray the Holy Spirit will arrest every one of us. And then when you get arrested, the key is just thrown away somewhere. They'll never be able to unlock you. Once you join this gang, you can't get out. It's till death do we part. I want to be like that with Christ. I want to be that way with Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. As we just, Lord, just go through this journey, we're so grateful for all that you have challenged us with. We truly want to be prisoners. Prisoners to your word, prisoners to your will, prisoners to your way, so yoked to Christ that the world has no bearing on us. God, this is our desire. So, Father, I pray that you, O God, would help us, Lord, to surrender all to you, withholding nothing. God, that's the way it's got to be. Because you didn't hold back anything. When you went to that cross, you gave up your entire life, God, for us. So now, Lord, help us to realize we have to give our entire life to you. Yes, we'll be criticized. Yes, we'll be we'll be ostracized. Yes, these things will happen. But God, there are others that are on the same journey as us. And you'll connect us with them, Lord, that we might be encouraged and strengthened by our brothers and sisters. Lord, help us, God, to come to this place and help us to get there fast. Like, Lord, when a prisoner is really going into a physical prison, they don't have any other choice. They have to adjust quickly. So help us to do the same, Lord, as we yield ourselves to you. So think back, Lord, the song that just opened the service, I Give Myself Away. God, how you had that orchestrated, you had that ordained, and that's where we want to be, Father, right now, giving ourselves away to you, Lord, so you can use us. Oh, God, it's in our hearts that we say yes, yes to your will, yes to your way, yes to your word, yes, we will serve you, yes, we'll obey you, yes, 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 yes. God, we don't want to say no. We want to just yield to you, Jesus. So God, have your way, God, is our prayer. Have your way, Lord, in every heart. Don't let these words just kind of go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, let us truly meditate on the things that are being spoken here. In Jesus' name, we ask it. We say yes. Yes. Come on, I say yes. Say, I say yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I say yes. Yes, Lord, yes. Come on, sing it again. I say yes.
I say life is not my own.
I say yes.
Say yes. I belong.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Give myself to you.
Come on, say yes. Everybody say yes. I say yes.
I say my life is not my own.
Oh, yes.
To you I belong. Oh, God. You see, I give myself.
Oh, I give myself to you. Everybody say yes.
I say yes.
See,
life is not my own, oh God. To you I belong.
Hey, I give myself. Oh, I give myself to you. I say yes.
I say yes. See, I say my life is not my own.
Hey,
to you I belong.
Oh, I give myself to you. Come on, tell them with all your heart. Lord, I say yes.
My life is not my own. Oh, God, to you I belong.
And I give myself, God, I give myself to you.
I say yes, I say yes, and I say yes.
Hallelujah, I say yes.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Yes, Lord,
Lord, yes.
Hallelujah, I say yes.
Hallelujah, I surrender all to you, Jesus.
Away,
I give myself away.
Yeah.
asking that you take our very vessels, Lord God, and use them, Lord, for your great name's sake. Father, as the Holy Ghost continues to brood over the earth looking for that last seed, we ask that you use our vessels, Lord, to be witnesses, Lord, in this earth, Lord, that some may hear our testimonies of the great works that you have performed in our lives, Lord God, that seeds of God may come, Lord, to the light. Father, to know you in the power of your resurrection, Father. We thank you again for the word of life that we've heard this morning, and we do surrender, Lord, being prisoners to Jesus Christ, Lord. We just ask, Father, that you be with us, Lord, as we go. Father, handcuff us, Lord God, that we will only do your will, Lord. We can't do our own wills, Lord. Father God, we ask, Lord God, that you put shackles on our feet, Lord, that we can't go to the places that our flesh wants to go. But Lord God, we'll go as you will lead us, oh God. Father, I ask your blessings now upon your children, Lord. May we continue to meditate on this word that we've heard, Lord. And may we become one with it. Father, I ask your blessings, Lord, upon your lives, the lives of your children, Lord. Continue to bless Brother Jack abundantly, Lord God, for his life of service, Lord, being a servant to the Lord. And may we, as not only your children, but servants of you, go out and serve others, Lord. We love you, Father. We ask that you grant traveling mercies to us all. Bring us back at the appointed time, Lord. May your blessings rest upon your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. May take your seats, and the brothers will dismiss you in the name of the Lord. I give to you.
Thank you.